Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bob McClain. Hello, howdy, greetings, welcome, salutations, and Tuesday alohas to you. We have reached that point in the program, final hour, the one we lovingly refer to as the bonus hour. And you know what we do in this one as well? Let's do that. Grab the phone, use the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 800-347-1063. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number, 71307. And my email address is bob@1063.com. Dealing with a few odds and ends in this hour as well. I think we have boneheads coming along in this hour as well. This story, though, is just coming across the wires from Fox News today. And in retrospect, much of the work that has been done in delving into the background on where this Trump-Russia collusion investigation got started, much of what we've learned, a lot of it came from the WikiLeaks document dumps, but we also have learned a great deal from the folks at Judicial Watch, who have submitted FOIA, Freedom of Information Act requests, one after the other, seeking more information about various parts of this investigation. Now, Judicial Watch is suing because the FBI failed to respond to a FOIA request in October of 2018 that was seeking more information about secretive communications in late 2016 between a top Clinton campaign lawyer and the Bureau's then general counsel, according to Judicial Watch. Additionally, the group said the FBI has ignored a September of 2018 FOIA request concerning communications between the FBI and Christopher Steele and payments to him. You remember Steele is the guy that was hired by Fusion GPS to author the infamous anti-Trump dossier. Well, in response, Judicial Watch today has filed lawsuits seeking the full release of all relevant documents. The flurry of litigation coming just days before Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, set to be publicly released in full, with the exception of some redactions, I'm assuming, for national security. Separately today, Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham, joined by Senator Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, sending a letter to the DOJ demanding the release of information concerning the FBI's investigation of Hillary's private email server known as the Mid-Year Exam Probe. All of these various investigations from DOJ and FBI were given these working names. Mid-Year Exam was the one given to the supposed investigation into Hillary and her server. In May of 2016, around the same time, then FBI Director James Comey was drafting a statement exonerating Clinton, the FBI's Mid-Year Exam team wrote a memo seeking DOJ permission to review highly classified information necessary to complete the investigation. This according to the Inspector General's report at the DOJ. However, the memo was never sent to DOJ, and the investigation was closed shortly thereafter. The classified annex includes additional detail about the information in question, its potential relevance to the investigation into Hillary and her server, and the FBI's justification for failing to review it. The release of the Mueller report, expected now on Thursday, expected to shed more light on the Russia investigation's conclusions that the Trump campaign did not improperly collude with Russia, despite multiple attempts by Russian-affiliated individuals to involve the Trump team in computer hacking. The ongoing litigation and document request could provide more information on the beginnings of the Russia investigation. How and why did the FBI pay Christopher Steele, who was already being paid by the Clinton campaign and DNC through Fusion GPS? That's the question posed by the president of Judicial Watch, Tom Fitton, in announcing the lawsuits. That we had to sue to get this basic information shows the FBI may have something more to hide. Former British spy Christopher Steele, by the way, sat for a four-hour videotaped deposition last month. Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr told Congress that at some point during 2017, Chris Steele did speak with somebody from the FBI, but I don't know who. FBI records unearthed by Judicial Watch showed the Bureau, which paid Mr. Steele at least 11 times in 2016, claimed to have dropped him as a source in November of that year after he leaked his connection to the FBI to the media. Fox News reporting exclusively in October, citing sources close to a congressional investigation that a high-powered lawyer working with the DNC and the Clinton campaign contacted the FBI's general counsel in late 2016 and provided documents for the Russia probe as federal investigators prepared a surveillance warrant for Carter Page. So the longer this investigation goes on, the more we are expecting to find out. 13 after 6 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Where is what? Here we go. The signature music in the background signifying the arrival for another discourse with the official, unofficial op-ed page editor of the Bobby Mack Show, the one, the only, the Anthony from Simpsonville. Anthony, good Tuesday evening to you. What's on your mind today?
How you doing, Mr. McLean? I listened to you last hour while you were disparaging Buttigieg, and you know I'm gonna have to. I hate this. I have to agree with you. The worst thing my party can do, oh my God, is nominate Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders to run against the Cheeto, because that's a guaranteed win. You know, I'm not. And the reason that I say this is Buttigieg is very articulated. I like some of the ideas that he's posed, but I don't think America is ready for an openly gay president. That's just something that, you know, you're politically correct. You say, yeah, of course I'll pull the ballot for him. Of course, you know, when they go into the ballot box,
yeah.
2016 is proven.
Right. Well,
no matter what the polls say.
We may have an opportunity to find out, you know, because if he comes out of nowhere and wins the Democrat nomination, that certainly will send a message about the party that about whom they want as the figurehead for their party, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
No, you know, and I've listened to many pundits, and I've listened to some conservative talk radios on other stations.
Yeah.
And there's the consensus is amongst you guys is that, you know, the Democratic Party is kind of going too far left. And in some cases,
that's a fair assessment. Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree. You know, listen, the country is a center left country. You may say it's a center right country until most of your listeners go and cash their Social Security checks or go get their Medicaid Part B or whatever the situation may
but
be.
But the common denominator, the common denominator to what you're saying is center, right?
Yeah, that is exactly.
Yeah.
And I have to agree with that. You know, down the middle, that's why I think Joe Biden is the perfect candidate. If he doesn't run or if he doesn't get the nomination, I don't know what's going to happen. Four more years of the Cheeto, I just can't take it.
You think the Democrats don't want Biden? You think he is, in their eyes, based on how progressive all the other candidates in the field are, they think that he's What, he's too old? He's old news?
Yes.
He's too moderate?
I've heard this. Yeah, I've heard the ridiculous assumption is because he's a mainstream Democrat.
Yeah.
That he has some positions that are to the right of most Democrats that are running right now. That
he does.
Somehow he's
yeah.
not, he doesn't fit into the party. You can't be even more wrong right now. I'm really angry that they are not looking at the long game here. They're looking
right.
at what's more politically correct, what's acceptable for the extreme left.
Yeah.
Let's get away from that, and let's get to where we need to be as far as... Listen, if Biden wins, he's going to do things that you're not going to like, Bobby. But
sure.
he's also going to do things that you're going to like.
Right.
Because he's going to go down the middle. And this is where we
need to be. Look, I'm inclined to agree with you. Let me put it this way, Anthony. Were I a Democrat, I would want, as the standard bearer for my party against Donald Trump, somebody that has a chance to appeal to middle America. I think that candidate would be Joe Biden. You know, I think he would be the best guy that they could run, quite frankly.
I agree, but Buttigieg is not the guy, and I really just, you know, maybe a vice presidential candidate, but he is not ahead of the ticket type guy right now.
Yeah.
America's not ready for that.
Yeah.
And I don't think America ever will be ready for that.
Well, I said the other day, it's hard to go from deciding how many swing sets the Parks and Recreation Department is going to put out in South Bend, Indiana, a town of 100,000 people, to being the most powerful politician on the planet. Anthony, I appreciate the call. If the Democrats were smart, they would listen to what you just said. That may be a big if. 18 after 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back. Twenty-three after six here on the Bobby Mac Show. In on the text line from Dale and Greer. Bobby, if the Democrats were smart, they would be Republicans. Bobby, is Anthony telling me that because my parents have Medicare Part B, a system set up half a century ago, that people somehow lean left? Anthony has a misperception of how this country might lean left. Good grief. Bobby, just asking a follow-up question. As Mayor Pete makes his political rounds, I wonder how soon he will have Minneapolis, Minnesota on his docket for a speech with his spouse in tow, and while there, play the diversity card. So he'll be sure to stop in at the Somalia Community Mosque, and of course, he'll be calling out the leading Muslim cleric there and his views regarding Mayor Pete's lifestyle. Just like he feels compelled to do regarding Vice President Pence, a total hypocrite. Totally agree. Keep your private life private. That's all we ask. Lou is next up here on the Tuesday Bobby Mac Show. He's in Campobello. Hi, Lou, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bobby. You know, every once in a while, Anthony shows promise, but I think before he worries about what his party's going to run or who they're going to run, I would have to ask him, what does this party stand for anymore? I mean, other than impeaching Trump, what have they unified against? I haven't seen anything, but maybe I'm wrong. But the reason I called you were talking about, you know, as Mueller's report gets released Thursday, and there's going to be a lot of information that shows that a lot of people, if nothing else, were grossly incompetent and derelict in their duties, and that includes everybody that signed off on the FISA warrant. If you don't see Comey, probably Rosenstein, Strzok, and Page in handcuffs, it is a total joke and a lack of justice in this country. And I don't know how much more people are going to stand for.
And if you want to find obstruction of justice, you are not going to find Donald Trump having committed that offense in the alleged collusion with Russia. You are, however, going to find it with James Comey. And who knows who else at the DOJ, who I'm sure through a mere oversight forgot to tell the FISA court judges when they were seeking a warrant to spy on a political opponent that the information that they were using to validate that request was bogus and paid for by the opposition party's candidate, for heaven's sake.
Well, let me ask you something, Bobby. Do you really believe that the FISA court judges didn't request that information? I mean, do you really think you could bring something in there signed by Elmer Fudd Esquire and they're just going to sign off on it? I think they're smarter than that. I think the FISA court was a guy. I feel bad for Donald Trump. I voted for him. I'll support him. I support him in 2020. But so many people are against that man.
Yeah.
For reasons beyond my belief. Maybe they can't control him. Maybe they're afraid he's going to expose them. But you can't tell me that the FISA courts didn't, someone on the FISA court, the judges didn't say, hey, can you tell me, did you document this? And if they said, yes, they did, and they didn't, then you know, they lied under oath.
Well,
you ruined General Flynn. So
they,
we should ruin all of them.
They did say that they had verified it. They said they verified it because the information in the Steele dossier had been reported in the media. Okay, and the reason it had been reported in the media was because because Christopher Steele himself had leaked it to the media, to a guy at Google News, who then wrote a story about it, and then the FBI and the DOJ said, here, look, see, it's not just this dossier from Christopher Steele. They're writing stories about this in the press, so it must be legitimate.
Well, I mean, but that's like saying you and I, they write a story. Bobby and Lou shot a 45 on the front nine at Augusta. I mean, someone's gonna call and ask and say, hey, did these guys really do it? Who's Bobby and Lou? I mean, there's just a lot of things that have to fall into place for their version of the FISA document to hold true. And I'll tell you, if Comey isn't in cuffs, at least for what he did to Clinton or for Clinton,
yeah.
The only thing I can't understand is, so close to the election, why did he come back out and say, oh, we're going to reopen the investigation? Was he getting scared that maybe he was going to be investigated? Who knows?
Yeah, I think he was hedging his bets. Now, the only thing that argues against your contention, Lou, is that we are given to understand that the FISA court did reject at least three requests for more FISA warrants from these same individuals. So maybe at some point they did start to say to themselves, well, wait a second, you know, there's plenty of smoke here, but there's no fire.
Well, but, you know, you heard about the two-hop rule. If I have a warrant on this person and he contacts this person,
yeah.
I can now surveil that person. Now I can surveil anybody they contact to. And there's, what, 17 applications for FISA warrants?
And
Bobby, that would probably be everybody in Washington.
Yeah, and look, there's a world of difference between having an informant, as they like to refer to their spies in the Trump campaign. That's one way of acquiring information. But when you get a FISA warrant and you can tap all their phones and you can tap all their computers and everything else, you have opened Pandora's box to get all the information you need to try and destroy the campaign of your opponent. And I think that's what they really were after here.
And I think Barr is a legitimate, honest person.
Me too.
And I don't think Barr is going to bend to their whims. I'm telling you, by them asking for this full report, I think they've grabbed the tiger by the tail, and I hope they get clawed into infinium.
Well, and I think that many of the people that could be the subject of these ongoing investigations have a real reason to be very, very worried. Thank you, Lou. I appreciate the call. 6:30 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Patrick's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side here on Tuesday.
What?
Welcome back. 6:37 now, 23 before 7 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Get this. Here's a dire threat that I'm sure will have President Trump shaking in his shoes. New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio threatened to sue the Trump administration if he sends migrants to the sanctuary city of New York. Okay. Yeah. We'll see what happens. You know, they're always find themselves a friendly jurist, and they run to him and try and stop whatever agenda item They don't like. To the phones we go. Let's head to Clemson and bring in Clayton here on the Bobby Mack Show. Hi, Clayton, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you having me on. How are you doing today?
So far, so good.
It's been a while since I've called. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
As you already know, one of the reasons I'm calling is, we exchanged a few texts regarding the LGBT community, voting
yes.
habits.
Yes.
Unfortunately, as you mentioned earlier, I'm not going to allow you to limit my First Amendment right to free speech.
Nobody's trying. Wait a minute. Nobody's trying. Wait a second, Clayton. Take a breath. Take a breath, all right?
Yes, sir. Twice, no.
Who was trying to limit your freedom of speech?
Your own words about 20 minutes ago on the air, sir.
And what words were those? I said you don't have a right to state your opinion?
I don't remember the direct quote, but you did mention, the right to free speech, the right to speak out, the right to be who you are.
Well, you're speaking right now, Clayton.
He's not pushing his lifestyle on anyone. He's responding to a man who, one, said gay couples signaled a, quote, societal collapse in 2006.
Wait just a moment.
Now that I'm leaving off fact, it's a problem.
Are you going to do all the talking, or are you going to allow me to respond?
I've been quiet roughly 7 seconds.
Okay, here is my response. If he is not pushing his lifestyle, if he is not pushing that as an agenda item, then why is he bringing his same-sex wife or husband, whichever? Wait a minute. Let me finish. Wait just a moment, Clayton, and let me finish. I let you finish. You let me finish, okay? Why then, if he is not pushing that as an agenda item, is he bringing his same-sex partner on stage with him and kissing him?
Why do all other politicians do the same thing?
Maybe all other politicians don't do the same thing.
Between the two. That's just a possibility.
Clayton, the last politician I can remember doing that was Al Gore. And as I recall, it didn't help his campaign.
You're trying to tell me that candidates haven't embraced themselves like with their spouse after a rally?
They don't bring them up when they're announcing and kiss them publicly, promoting an alternate lifestyle.
Well, when they're dealing with a man who opposed a law that would prohibit discrimination against LGBT people in the workplace, on top of, opposing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and saying that gay couples signal a societal collapse, I think it's quite fitting. And having the support and love from his partner is quite important during a campaign. And I would challenge anyone to say that for a straight, quote-unquote, normal candidate, that their partner wouldn't support and provide the exact same comfort to them.
Wait a minute, Clayton. Wait a minute. You're not allowed to come on and make a speech. This is a conversation, okay? So when you say something, I respond. That's the way it works, all right? If this is the case, if he is so forthright about promoting his lifestyle, why is it that when he ran for mayor of South Bend the first time around, he didn't disclose his preference for his sexuality?
You would have to ask him that question.
Well, I'll do that. Thank you, Clayton. I appreciate the call. You know, I'm happy to engage in a conversation about this, but I'm not going to sit here and listen to an agenda speech. I'm not going to listen to talking points. In on the text line, Bobby, in reference to Mayor Pete, to condone an abomination is to leave you no better. Bobby, Anthony is right about one thing. The goal of Medicare is to make people more liberal. Bobby couldn't understand the caller. Clayton, he mumbles too much. Tell him to stop deep-throating the phone. Bobby, Clayton makes Anthony look like a genius. Did Anthony pay him to call in? I don't think so. Ken, who is next up. He is in Anderson. Hi, Ken, and welcome to the Bobby Mack Show.
Hi, Bobby. I have some stuff I want to say about the whole Mueller investigation coming out.
But yes, sir.
I'm just laughing. But real quick to address that, Anthony was right when he said maybe the country's not right for this. Yeah, for the Mayor Pete. But one thing you've got to look at is not just our rights and our civil liberties, but the world's. He's going to be dealing with, if he was to get nominated and if he was to get elected, he's going to have to deal with different foreign dignitaries, especially in the Middle East and stuff,
right,
who would not have a thing. But on this FISA thing, the only thing I was going to say is, here recently there was a rehash in the news about the Clinton attorney that opposed her in one of the meetings and ended up committing suicide. And with all the other conspiracy theory things about the people committing suicide by shooting themselves in the back of the head and stuff like that, I just wonder how many of these people that's going to be coming up to light under all this investigation when it starts surfacing, how many of them are going to commit suicide?
And the question we posed the other day was how many of these people, in fact, Moneypenny and I were joking about it yesterday, who's going to be the first in line down at the DOJ headquarters to drop the dime on the others? Because you know as well as I do, first person in the door gets the best deal.
Right. I think Lindsay was the projected choice, if I remember.
Well, Lindsay, I don't think Lindsay has any involvement in the cover up. I think he is now recognizing which way the wind is blowing and is going to jump on board the Trump bus to try and get to the bottom of this. Now, whether anybody actually ends up in the Gray Bar Hotel over it is another question entirely. Andy, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 7:15 here on the Bobby Mack Show. Quick break here and then be right back to wrap things up here on Tuesday. Welcome back. Closing minutes of the Bobby Mack Show on this Tuesday. In on my text line, 71307. Bobby, stop violating my safe space with your free speech. Laugh out loud. Charles in Anderson. Anything else? Now I think that catches me up, which allows me to return to the phones and bring in Andy, who is in my stomping grounds of Taylor's. Hi, Andy, and welcome to the program.
Hello there, Bobby Mack. Long time no speak. How
yes,
you?
Sir.
Hope things are going well.
Yep, doing fine. Thank you.
Well, good. I heard Clayton's comments about the First Amendment.
Yes.
And I love the way that gets thrown around, honestly, by people on both sides. If Facebook doesn't publish stuff that we want, it's called First Amendment violations. But you know as well as I do that the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law.
Yes.
It has no binding over private institutions. And even though the station, radio station, is licensed by the federal government, it's expected to censor its content so it can stay in compliance.
And if we don't, we face
and the FCC.
And if we don't, we face fines that begin at $250,000 per offense.
Yes. So you are expected to censor your content.
Correct.
Nobody has a right to say whatever they want to over your venue. And I can say this because I'm also a constitutional scholar because I teach the Constitution as part of my broadcast class.
Yes. Well, and your point is well taken. You know, free speech in this context has limitations.
Yes. And you are responsible to provide the speech that you deem appropriate.
Yes. And there's a reason why people like myself are paid to do this job. And you know this, Andy, because you've done it. That's because we are expected to define the conversation within parameters that are acceptable, not only from a legal standpoint, but in the case of my show, from a family-friendly listening standpoint as well.
Yeah. So keep up the good work, Bob. And I get so tired of people throwing out First Amendment when they don't understand what it means.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Who it was written to. It was written so that Congress would not write out the possibility of actually criticizing the government.
Yes. Although Abraham Lincoln may have overlooked that when he closed down several publishers and jailed them for being.
We won't go there.
No, yeah, the program.
You're talking history, Bob.
That's right.
You're getting dangerous.
The conversation is way too long for the time remaining. Thanks, Andy. I appreciate the call. Good to hear from you. John is along next. He is in Easley. Hi, John, and welcome to the Bobby Mac Show.
Hey, Bobby Mac. I just want to talk about fire at Notre Dame, or sort of give a word that some people are, I think, needing to hear.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Whatever the cause was for the Notre Dame fire, I haven't heard anything different. And it is a tragedy that it had to happen to such a icon, not just for Paris, but for the Christian faith, whatever denomination you're
Yes, on. Agreed.
It is, while it's not okay that it happened, it will be okay. It is a thing of beauty inspired by God, crafted by man's hand. And because of that, because God is everlasting, because he's not going anywhere, so neither is the beauty that he can inspire us to create. And because there are endless amounts of imagery depicting Notre Dame, we can easily recreate what was lost.
Yeah, that's true.
And make it so it can't happen again. We can recreate this beauty because, like God, the beauty he inspires us to make is never ending. It's not okay now, but it will be.
I was, well said, John. I was especially taken today to see when we got to see the interior photographs of Notre Dame and see the extent of the damage, how little interior damage was actually done. And I think that in and of itself may have been an act of God.
Mm-hmm. It's not unlike when a fire happened in another church I've heard of where the Holy Bible was completely untouched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a strange kind of way, in the wake of a tragedy like losing that iconic symbol of Christendom, in another aspect of it, it's a reaffirmation of faith.
Pretty much. If it was an act of terrorism, I'm guaranteeing you, whoever did it was they're going to lose this. They're going to lose this one.
Yep. I would agree, John. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate being able to end here on an uplifting note on Tuesday. Tomorrow, of course, is the Hump Day edition of the Bobby Mac Show. I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, tomorrow is when Dave Schwartz from Freedom Action Network of South Carolina will join us. We were able to get that creepy data warehouse they were trying to push in Columbia, able to keep that from coming to a floor vote, so that was good. We'll see what else is going on when he joins me tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday evening. See you tomorrow. God bless.
That's all, folks.
Well, kids, that's our show for today. And now, in the words of Mr. Cole Porter,
every time we say goodbye,
goodbye.
You say goodbye, and I say hello. What?
Hello, I must be going. I must be going.
So long, farewell, our feet are saying goodbye. I leave and heave a sigh and say goodbye.
Goodbye to you.
I'll be back.
Goodbye to you.
Goodbye.
Concludes our broadcast day.
Goodbye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.